Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score.
Feeling pretty good right now. I'm not at 100% yet, but we've come a long way in the last couple of months, and I worked really hard to do whatever I can to get better, and I'm excited to be here right now and see all the guys.
And Sports Talk Live is at the annual Blackhawks Convention. Everything brought to you, as always, by our great partners with the Chevy Silverado. We've got a star-studded panel. We've got Pat Boyle, our pre-post host. We have got Blackhawks captain, the legendary Jonathan Toews, and the legendary Duncan Keith, and more. We get you caught up on what's going on with our hockey team. But welcome in. I'm David Kaplan. And Jonathan, Duncan, great to have you guys with us. What type of a chip do you have on your shoulder, knowing you didn't make the playoffs last year, you're ready to go this year?
Well, it's a new challenge. We got to start over. We got to take a long, hard look in the mirror and, you know, figure out what we can do better and where we can grow. And I think it's an opportunity for everybody to come in and have fun and just be excited about the potential. Someone was talking about us being an underdog this year, so we'll look at it that way, that we're not taking anything for granted.
You know, you guys, this is the 11th one. I know you say it every year, but, you know, it was a rough year last year on many fronts. These guys still show up in droves, the enthusiasm, the energy. Can you feed off of that a little bit? Does that spill into, you know, your final couple months of training here before camp gets ready to go, Dunks?
Yeah, I definitely I feel that. I mean, it's been a while, about a month and a half since I've been back in the city. And you know, just being here, seeing the fans, it makes it real that, you know, the season's coming up again. So I've already just being here, you know, excited to, you know, obviously enjoy being here with the fans, but get back and you know, come into camp ready to go and get the season started off on the right foot. So it's great to see the guys again and just be excited to get this thing going again.
How have you guys spent your off season in terms of training? Anything different? Is same old, same old? Get back on skates yet? Where are you?
Can't share those secrets right now. No, it's pretty much the same thing, and I think you realize too, some of the longer seasons we had where we went deep into the playoffs, where you need the rest and you're not really doing much off the ice, you're pretty much just getting back to ground zero, I guess, before training camp. But now, missing the playoffs, you see what the rest of the league is doing, what all these young guys are doing. They're skating a ton, they're working on skill, they're in great shape. So just kind of learning a lot from what some of the young players in the league are doing and having the chance to have the time, the energy to really kind of rebuild the foundation of your game and get ready for training camp a little bit.
How about your training, Dunks? In years past, you did some work in the river and different things, and I don't know if that's still part of the equation or not. What did you do training-wise this offseason?
I think I just kind of got back to the basics. Just like Johnny said, you know, when you're playing a lot of hockey, you're more focused on recovery and rest to get ready for the season again. So this year, you know, especially, we've had a long off season, just like the last few. And so for us, it's you know, putting the work in as much as we can to make sure we're feeling sharp and ready to go come training camp. And it's been a good summer. We've gotten some rest, but we've also put a lot of work in.
I know the question that you guys have been asked most, and we have as well, Corey Crawford's health. Our first chance to see him in a while. He says he's still not 100%. It's just great to see him. What have you said to him, and what sense do you get that he'll be ready to go for training camp?
Well, I think we all know he misses being around the guys. He misses being in the locker room, on the ice, being a big part of our team. Just kind of being on your own page and having a serious injury that's keeps you out as long as he's been out. It's no fun. You're just kind of on your own page, and you're kind of alone in a lot of ways. So I think he's doing everything he can to get healthy and to get back to his form. And I think for us as a team, it's identifying all the little weaknesses that have kind of come up since we lost our starting goaltender and realizing how much he did mean to our team. So I think we work on that part of our team game, and when he is back, whoever goaltender happens to be, it will be a lot better in front of them.
There was a lot made of Marian Hossa having to leave the sport. He gave a great little speech via video to the crowd. What was it like having him as a teammate? Your guys' thoughts on Hossa?
Well, he was first and foremost just a great guy, a great teammate to have on the team, and a true professional in everything that he did with his off-ice habits and the way he played the game. I think he was just a great leader for our team, and I think the statistics and everything show the value that he brought to the team. But, you know, for us young guys to be able to look at a guy like that and how he played the game in the right way was just a great example for us to play. And we all know how instrumental he was for our team to win those three cups. And we definitely missed him last year. And, you know, like you said, it was nice to see that little video.
Yeah, I don't think it was talked enough about how much 81 meant to this team and how much you missed him last year. You were talking to the media upstairs, Johnny, about having fun again. And you guys are in different phases of your life. A lot of guys on this team are just getting their NHL careers underway. Do you look to take it upon yourself as leaders to, you know, bring those young guys in here and become one and not have it like, you know, the old guys that have won cups and the young guys that are coming on trying to be part of this?
Well, I think that's a huge thing, and for us guys that have been around playing in the city and have won Stanley Cups, missing the playoffs, I think for me at least it was a humbling experience. It's like, okay, well, you know, it's time to learn from this, and you're no better than anybody, and you gotta put in your work, as Dunks was saying, and it's time to earn it all over again. So nobody's gonna give you anything for free, especially at this level. And I think as a group we can all kind of have that workmanlike mentality, and put in the right kind of preparation and do the little things right, as Dunks was talking about a guy like Marian Hossa. But then when it's time to go out and play, you gotta play loose. You gotta have fun, and I think that's when we're gonna be on our best game is when we're all on the same page. We're ready to work.
Go ahead.
There'll be a lot of guys that'll be looking to take that next step, and one guy that could make this team is Henry Jokiharju. I know you played in the 4-on-4 last week. I don't know how much you've got to see of him, but you know, Dunks, your thoughts on a 19-year-old and trying to make it in the NHL. What have you seen from Henry so far and the chances of him being a part of this team?
Well, I remember last year was his first training camp, and you can definitely tell the skill level he has, the puck handling ability, his skating, it's all there. Just talking to him there briefly backstage, you know, he's excited. He knows he's got his work cut out for him. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. He knows that there's been a few other defensemen drafted you know, my experience was that coming up the same age as him, it was the same type of situation for myself. There was a lot of defensemen, young defensemen that the Hawks had drafted, so there's that internal competition. I think that you're fighting for a spot. Again, you know, you love the guys you're with, but it's all, you know, fighting for more ice time, fighting to make the team, and I think that just makes everybody a better player, and I think it's going to be good for him. He's excited about that challenge.
Jonathan, there had been a lot of talk about Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville. Could you talk about the value of your head coach, the relationship over your 12 years in the NHL with Joel?
Well, I think it's just it's become a consistent relationship between him and his our top guys and the leaders in our locker room, and we're just knowing when he's going to get fired up, when he's going to draw on that emotion, and when he's going to kind of keep things settled down and make sure everything, you know, things don't get out of control in the locker room or on the bench. And I think, again, you look back to last year, it was a tough situation for everybody and the coaching staff included. But I think we're all excited about the challenge as far as kind of solving some of the problems that came up and making sure that we're back to our old ways.
As you guys watch the Stanley Cup playoffs this year and the teams that advance, a power play was a big part of it. Teams that had one that clicked tend to advance, and with the way they're calling this game now, it takes on even more importance. And when you guys have won in the past, you know, you've done it with a great PK, and is that maybe a point of emphasis going into this year, that the power play, you know, has to become a a vital part of this offense to make you guys really get going and have some longevity in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I think so. I think everybody would love to have a great power play, and that certainly was kind of a sore spot for our team last year. It definitely, it's huge for winning games, can be the difference. But, at the same time, I think that, it's just, there's a lot of things that have to go right for a good power play, and it takes work and practice, and I'm sure that's something that as a team and a group with the coaches and the players that we're going to talk about and we're going to work on, that's something that we're going to try to make better to help our team win hockey games.
Getting Marcus Krueger back, is that a huge help on the penalty kill, and would that lighten some of the load maybe on you on the PK?
I think so. I think whenever you have depth at center, obviously you need great D-men to give your forwards the puck and get things out of your zone. So, that's most teams start there. But I think having the depth at center is huge for our team. And Krugs has always been that guy that can rely upon. He's not a big guy, but he'll kind of like another Swede like Nick Halmerson, he'll put himself in front of a lot of pucks and he'll scratch and claw to get pucks out of the zone and do the little things defensively that you want everybody to do. So I think he's going to bring a lot of that, and obviously an old friend and old teammate coming back always helps the locker room as well.
Michael Kempney went over to Washington, probably the unsung move at the trade deadline. And we talk so much about players, are they a top 4D, what sometimes you and you saw in this case, Kempney, he's put into a pair with Carlson, and they become a top pairing. Your thoughts on when you analyze a D pairing, you sometimes have to find that right fit, and it's not always just the onus on the player; it's finding the right combination on the back end as well.
Yeah, certainly there's different styles of play, and different players can gel with other players better than maybe with somebody else. So that's always kind of a tricky way to for a player. I think we're just focused on our own game, and the coaches are going to decide who plays with who, and we have to make it work with whoever we're with. And obviously, Kempney got into a situation where he was on a team that ended up being a Stanley Cup winning team, so they had a pretty good team, and he always had some good skill, and he was a great teammate, and it was nice to see him go into a situation where he had success and he got some confidence, and it worked out for him.
I know you guys know a thing or two about Cup celebrations, but have you ever seen somebody have more fun with the Cup and seemingly not leave his hand for like a month than what we saw with Alex Ovechkin? It was nuts.
Yeah, good for him. It's an exciting moment. Obviously, he's one of the greatest players to play the game in our time that we've been in the league. And, he knows how to celebrate. He could learn a thing or two there, I guess. So,
yeah. Guys, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
We
got to
take
you.
A timeout. We'll come back. Jamal Mayers is going to join us. We're at the Blackhawks convention here at the Hilton and Towers. Be right back.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Your whole life, you're used to doing something, and you don't do it for a long period of time. It's tough, but it is what it is. Injuries happen, and you just try and get back as quickly as you can.
And welcome back here on Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. We are at the Hilton and Towers on South Michigan Avenue. I'm David Kaplan. He's Pat Boyle, Jamal Mayers, Michelle McMahon, as we talk Blackhawks hockey. And Corey Crawford, we just heard from Jammer. He says, I'm not 100% yet. I hope I'm ready to go when camp comes. This is on the heels of Joel Quenneville 15 minutes earlier saying, yeah, I plan on him being our opening night goaltender. Where are we here?
Well, get used to some Cam Ward. And that's what that tells me. And unfortunately, obviously, where the Hawks went when he went down. This is not a good sign. Obviously, if he's not 100%, that's a huge hole they're going to have to fill. And I hope they're doing their homework and trying to figure out how they're going to dam that up, because it's a huge missing piece.
Something that stood out to me in the Jonathan Toews was the fact that he said it's more than just the goaltending issues. And after even talking to Cam Ward and jogging my memory through my days covering Carolina and spending some time with Cam Ward, his point to that also was being a part of a franchise that it's an expectation to make it to the Stanley Cup. So this isn't just some average signing, in my opinion. This is a guy that won the Conn Smythe in 2006 in his rookie campaign. Is he getting older? Is it 12 years later? Sure, from 2006. But I think this is a guy that can step in and take over the starting ropes.
Yeah, but I don't know if you want a 34-year-old at this stage in the crease for 50 to 60 plus games. I just think that's a lot to ask for Cam Ward at this stage.
Who wasn't
game.
Even a starter in Carolina last year until he replaced
Scott
Darling.
But he saved Scott Darling's back True. There because Scotty struggled quite a bit. I guess what we're seeing is, management all along has been saying, everything's fine, Corey's okay, he'll be ready to go. We saw an emotional Corey upstairs, Michelle, where he is not 100%. He says he's not. He's not exactly sure if he'll be ready for training camp. So not exactly everybody on the same page here. Where's your concern level, realizing that, this happened back in December?
If it's out of a scale of 10,
yeah.
I'm at a 9.
Yeah.
Because to me, you're not winning another championship without Corey Crawford or that type of caliber, high-end goaltending in that position. It's such a crucial thing. And a lot of people in hockey will say, well, you can win with average goaltending. You can't. You have to win with great goaltending and goaltending at the right time. Because as we've seen last season, it can be extremely deflating when you have untimely goals. And I think that the goaltending last year without Corey Crawford was average at best. And not just average at best, it's the timing of those goals that really breaks the back of a bench. When you're in a game and then they let in a soft goal, those hurt more than other goals.
We talk about goalie wins, and Corey Crawford is somebody who, in a good year, a Vezina Trophy year, has somewhere between 6 or 10 goalie wins.
Where he steals a game.
Where the game is in the balance, either team could win, but because of the goaltender, he pulls it out. You put those 10 wins into points, that's 20 points. All of a sudden, you're in the playoffs. So it is a vital position, the most important in the NHL. The other thing that we thought that they were going to address this offseason was the back end and finding a top four D-man. Now, they do have some cap space, but Brandon Manning comes here via free agency. He's more like a 5 or 6, brings some grit to the back end.
The young kid, Henry.
Henry Jokiharju, they're going to look to take that step here, but that's a lot at age 19.
It certainly is, and we saw that in the maturation of Forsling and how he took – he didn't necessarily digress with his development, but it's not necessarily a linear path in these young players' game. They've got to find a way to get better, and sometimes they take a step back before they go forward to automatically assume that these young guys are going to come in, especially one of the most difficult positions to play in defense, and step in right away and make a difference is a lot to ask. And I'm sure Stan and his staff are out there scouring the NHL to try to make a move because I think that might be the only option.
What's the missing link then on defense? Is it the lack of veteran presence? Is it the little breakdowns? Because you can't goaltending is, of course, a pivotal part of a successful team, but you can't put it all on the goaltending. Well, so what is the breakdown?
To me, it's two factors. You've got an aging defense in the core, and you've got Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith that are great defensemen, but at the end of time, Father Time does not forgive anybody. So they're getting at the end of their careers in the sense that they cannot be expected to play, in my opinion, 25 to 30 minutes a night. You have to have more depth, and you have to ask younger players to step up and assume a greater role. And other organizations have been able to do that. They've got to find a way to push these young guys forward. And some of that is just let them play it through. It's an 80-game season. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to have their moments where they're not going to be good enough on each night. But it's about that maturation. And some of that is letting them play through that.
Do you guys, all three of you, believe that after hearing Corey speak, the Blackhawks went, whoa, I didn't see that coming? Because he's been off on his own as he rehabs from all
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, I mean, so what I'm hearing is that medically he's been under the league medical team and not necessarily
the
specific Blackhawks medical team. And, that obviously is going to come together once training camp begins. But, look, I think it's somewhat unsettling to see him at this stage say that he's not 100%, and there's still some time. and hopefully, you know, his medical staff and the Hawks, led by Dr. Terry, will come together and we'll see him back, you know, in the crease, ready to go at the start of training camp. But right now, I'd have to say, you know, my level of concern is somewhere 6-7, something like that.
Yeah, I'm more with
– you're a 9?
I'm a 9.9.
I have faith. I would just like to say, but I think the thing that at least caught me off guard, and I think everyone else that was there, was the emotion behind him leaving that scrum afterwards. He was nearly teary-eyed. I mean, obviously it's a frustrating injury and not something that he really wanted to talk about as far as what the exact injury was, but I think that was the most jarring thing, at least for me, that it was a humanizing aspect of this is a real person going through a real injury that whatever the injury is, obviously that kind of emotional reaction I think would catch anybody off guard and makes it a little bit more uncertain. But I'm not ready to give up on the Cam Ward thing. I do believe that at least he has more experience than you look at like a Forsberg that was thrown to the fire last year. This is a guy that has carried this load for his entire career in Carolina. Maybe the numbers don't speak to it, but I don't think that the talent level has been the same between Carolina and Blackhawks. I think it would be an opening opportunity for him, and that's how he sees it as well.
Well, at the end of the day, I don't think it's realistic to think that Cam Ward come in here and be the starting goaltender. I think it's probably over ambitious to think he's going to play more than half the games, but he's going to have to be that stopgap. And at the end of the day, you know, they're going to have to have other guys fill
that role. Who backs
him
up?
I'm not quite sure.
I mean. Are you saying it'll be Cam Ward if Corey
no,
can't
no.
go?
And who backs up Cam Ward if Corey can't go?
I would think Forsberg.
They wouldn't go on and have to make up.
I mean, look, they've got money to play with. I think they were holding on to that to maybe add and find that back-end help. Maybe yeah. they can make an acquisition during the season and use some of that cap space there. But look, if Corey's not ready to go, all bets are off. You got to open the door then to discuss looking for
anything.
A true number one.
But cap space is cap space. There's no real legitimate players out there to go acquire. If you had $6 million to go out and find a defenseman, there's not a $5 million defenseman sitting out there. No. People keep those. You know, teams keep those. They value those players. So it's extremely concerning. I know for a fact they're aware of what's going on, and they're going to find a solution for it, and they're going to have to figure out a way to find another goaltender that can be that third goaltender and legitimately step in and be that necessary backup for Cam, as you mentioned,
right?
In the unforeseen fact that maybe Corey's not going to be ready. But the reality is that Corey's a huge part of this team, and mentally, I think as a group, I think it's nice that it came out now versus, you know, when training camp starts.
Right, September.
So it's not going to be as devastating, and he's still got some time.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this team bounces back after swept away by Nashville and then not making the playoffs. There's heat on everybody, right?
There's heat on everybody. As we had Jonathan Toews up here and Duncan Keith, too, this is a crossroads for this franchise. You know, you're down to the core four plus Corey, question mark there. And you're asking a lot of young guys to take that next step, to bring it to step up. Schmaltz to do the same. The Haydens, the Sakuras, the Joki Harjus. I mean, there's a lot of young guys that are being, you know, flushed into the system. And, you know, a guy like Chris Kunitz could be a breath of fresh air, too, about melding this group. A four-time Stanley Cup winner, a guy that, you know, you're going to see on that fourth line, but you're going to see him move up and down those lines quite a bit, depending on how Joel wants to work that blender.
There's no question about it. He's a guy, obviously, I think, you know, he can move up and down that lineup. And I just talked to him about 30 minutes about this very same thing. And the reality is Joel evaluates in the first 10 minutes of a game who's going on any given night. And he will not be afraid to put Kunitz up on that top line if that's what it requires. And the nice thing is Kunitz has that ability and shown the ability to step up. Doesn't mean he's going to play there the whole year. But 15 games of it, he's a guy who also is going to bring you into the fight. You think about what Shaw brought to the table and the fact that when it's a game in January,
sandpaper.
He's going to bring you into the fight when guys aren't really sure they want to play or dip their toe in the water. He's bringing you in and sets the tone.
We've got a break, but I'm going to ask all three of you, one player, not goaltender, the biggest key for this team, what player is it? Not goalie.
I'll say Jonathan Toews.
It has to be him. He is the cog. He is the engine. He's the voice of the room. He's the guy who's going to set the table. And you know what? He has to have a better season offensively. He knows that. But anytime you push a guy like him against the wall or back him up, I like to see the response.
I'm going to go not the same answer. That would be my answer, but maybe somebody that would like to completely turn his season upside down from last year, Brandon Saad. I think he could be a game changer, especially complimenting the players like Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane to get the offensive side of things rolling.
I'm saying Duncan Keith. They struggle with defense. He's got to have a better year.
Good answer as well.
All three.
We'll take a last timeout. Pat and I will talk about the big Cubs trade that brings Cole Hamels to the Windy City. Cubs and Cardinals on NBC Sports Chicago tonight. We'll be right back.
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for authentic fan nights featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Cole Hamels is a member of the Chicago Cubs. He has officially been traded. Cubs trade Eddie Butler, a minor leaguer, and a player to be named later. And they assume about $5 million in salary obligations on the 15 left on Cole Hamels. Look, they don't have the system. All those guys are in the big leagues now to go get whoever they want. This is the best available option.
It's a low-risk, hopefully high-reward situation with Cole Hamels. You get a guy who is October-proven, who, look, his numbers don't look great in Texas. That's a tough ballpark to pitch in.
But away, it looks
better.
Away,
it's a different – and at Wrigley Field, he's been phenomenal.
Yep.
So, you know, you hope to change his scenery. We hear that some of his struggles, like his last month has not been great.
No.
The first 2 months of the season, he was Cole Hamels, the guy you would expect to see. You're hearing that something in his mechanics can be fixed. Hopefully that's something the Cubs can address. But all in all, I like it. And my question to you would be, now you've got the surplus of lefties in the starting rotation. I would assume Montgomery would go back into the bullpen because you would not want to see four lefties in your starting rotation.
Well, you have the Dodgers with three, with Alex Wood, with Kershaw, and with Rich Hill. So they're going with three. Look, I don't know how much longer you can run Tyler Chatwood out there. He is absolutely just destroying your bullpen.
You'd expect – would you expect them to put him on the DL because they can't send him down? I mean, like what would you do with Chatwood?
Maybe you slide him into the pen and you use him as a long man to try on the – so you're really playing one man short in your pitching staff then.
We'll see what
Because you're not going to use him in any high-leverage situation.
Maybe on Baseball Night in Chicago they have the answer for
That's right. Ozzie and Doug Glanville and Layla will have those answers for you. Coming up, I'll see you back on the postgame show, Cubs and Cardinals on NBC Sports Chicago. Doug Glanville, David DeJesus will join me. PB, a lot of fun, man.
A lot of fun, thanks.
All right, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday on Sports Talk Live. A lot more convention coverage all weekend long. See ya.